you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with us, we ask you to turn to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke in the 20th verse. Luke, the 15th chapter in the 20th verse. And as you turn, I just want to share with you to remember that the Bible says in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah and the 4th verse, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs." Okay? Bible says in the 8th chapter of John, the 17th verse, it says that he hath bore our sicknesses. And in the 19th chapter and the 17th verse of John, it says, "And he bearing his cross." So he is the one that we speak of, is Jesus Christ bearing the burden, bearing our sorrows, bearing our griefs, bearing our sicknesses, bearing his cross. And we want you to read along with us and see this Father embrace with his Son. And I want you to know that this embrace is something that only occurred with regard to Israel and the Jewish nation between men. And this was a very masculine thing. This was not something that was at all inappropriate or anything like that. This was a show of forgiveness. This was a show of mercy. And this was a show of love. The Bible says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Now, we want to focus on the five words, "and fell on his neck." Now, the father saw him a great way off. The father saw the embrace before he ever felt the embrace. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." When we read these words, we find, and in studying, we find that this word "fell" in the Greek is epipto, and it literally means, it's used 11 times in the New Testament, and every time that it is used sparingly, it is used to show, it literally means to fall upon and embrace with power, okay? Now, it's the same word that's used in the book of Acts when it talks about the Holy Spirit falling upon the believers. And the word "neck" here is the Greek word trachelos, from which the root word tracho, which is where we get the word trachea. And it, in this context, literally means and is literally defined as life. Literally defined as life. And I want you to go with us for a little while. The father fell on his neck. When we look at this, we see this father forgiving his son and falling upon his neck and them embracing in this way. The neck is extremely important. We read and we study about how our neck is extreme. We know that the Christ is the head of the church and we are the body, and we're connected by the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that relationship could be symbolized by the neck. And we understand that there's actually seven vertebrae in the neck. Seven, obviously, we know in God's Word is the number of completion, the number of perfection. And we know that if you receive a neck injury, it can be very, very dangerous, even fatal. If you injure your third through the fifth vertebrae, C3 through 5, a lot of times it causes you to asphyxiate, not be able to breathe, which can lead to death. If you break a bone below that, many times you're paralyzed and become a quadriplegic. And if you if your neck is broken in such a violent way that it severs the nerves and the blood vessels and all these things, you can suffer what is called spinal shock, and you die within seconds. So neck injuries are extremely, extremely dangerous. And we know this, and we see this on a daily basis. And we understand that that Satan, the Bible says in the book of Peter, it says that 5 and 8, 1 Peter, it says that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we understand that our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are the body and he is the head, Satan is looking to break our neck. He is looking to break. He is looking to hinder our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that if he can do that, if he can choke us, he will do that. If he can kill our witness, he will do that. If he can asphyxiate us, he will do all that he can to harm our relationship with the head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look, we find, and you study, and you've seen documentaries the same as I have about the Sahara and the plains of Africa, about the lions there. We know, as it said, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The lions in Africa, they will hunt their prey. They'll hunt the gazelles, and they'll hunt those other types of deer that are native to Africa. They'll pick out one. They'll pick out one that's weak. They'll pick out one that's lame. They'll pick out one that's sometimes smaller. They'll pick out one that's older. They'll pick out one that they can prey on, and they will focus on that one animal, that one prey, and they will go and they'll chase it, and they'll try to get it to slip and fall in a turn, and they'll take that paw with scalpel-like claws and claw that animal and get them to the ground. And what do they go for? What do those huge teeth go for? They go for their prey's neck. They know if they can get to the neck, they've got supper. They know if they get to the neck, they have their next meal, and they'll pick that animal up. And I've seen them in these documentaries where they pick the animal up, and sometimes the animal is so young and so small that when the lion is carrying it, it's totally off the ground. And I've seen them where they carry them where the animal is so big and seemingly would be so strong that they're just dragging it beside them by the neck. Now, you may be young, you may be small, you may be older, you may be strong. It does not matter. Satan is looking to devour us, and he's going for the neck. And we also understand that back in the conquering days of different rulers in different lands, they many times, if a battle was won, we've read how the conquering captain or general or leader, they would stand on the neck of one who has been conquered, symbolizing that they are in submission, that they have won a victory over this person, that they are dead, and that the person who has their foot on that other person's neck is victorious. We see that today with terrorism. They are attacking people physically at the neck, and we see that today, as Brody talked about, the descendants of Ishmael, the wild people that are going around in this world that we live in today. Sin is rampant in the heart, and Satan is looking to get us at the neck. The Bible says the father fell on his neck. Now, as we stated in Isaiah 53 and 4, he hath borne our griefs. He is our burden bearer. The Bible says in the 27th chapter and the 16th verse of the book of Genesis that Rebekah took her son Jacob and made and had the fur and the hair of the kids of goats and put that on his hands and on the smooth of his neck. And she did that because they were deceiving Isaac as Jacob went in to steal the blessing from Esau. And Esau was a hairy man. Jacob was a smooth man. And they did that because they knew Isaac would feel of him and smell of him. And he'd put it on the neck because it was customary in that day for them to give a kiss on the neck, signifying that relationship between that father and that son. Now, we go on to find in the Bible where in the 27th chapter and the 40th verse that Isaac tells Esau, "And thou shalt break his yoke that is upon thy neck." So with the blessing that was taking place with Jacob and Esau, and you look further where the Bible says in the 33rd chapter and the 4th verse of the book of Genesis, where Esau, the Bible says, he runs and falls on his neck, embraces him, and kisses him. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter there, and the 42nd verse, that Pharaoh there puts a gold chain around Joseph's neck. We know that the neck bears the burden. The neck bears the stress. We even find that that there are those where if they get really stressed and really exhausted, you'll see it in their neck, and they'll be very tense in their neck. And maybe you've gone through that. But we also know that when the yoke and the burden is gone, the neck is representative of freedom and victory, in the sense that they would adorn the neck with different jewels and different things. In the Olympics, after the burden is gone, after the victory is won, they will go to the podium, and what do they put on them? They put them on a gold medal, a silver medal, a bronze medal there around their neck. This is very symbolic of victory. Now, we look and we find there in the 45th chapter of Genesis, in the 14th verse, that Joseph falls on Benjamin's neck and weeps, and Benjamin weeps on his neck. The Bible says in 46 and 29 of the book of Genesis, the Bible says that he falls on his neck and weeps, and he wept on his neck a good while. The Bible says, though, I want you to pay particular attention to what Moses says here in Exodus, the 13th chapter and the 13th verse. It says, "And the firstlings of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, thou shalt break its neck." The Bible says virtually the same thing in Exodus 32 and 4, how it says, "But the firstlings of the ass thou shalt redeem with the lamb, but if thou wilt not redeem it, thou shalt break its neck." And we know that the donkey, the ass there, is the burden bearer, and it was very valuable in this day because it could carry, and it was strong, and all the things and the work that it could do. And people would have to sacrifice a lamb. They would have to sacrifice that lamb. They would have to kill that lamb, or that lamb would have to be sacrificial, because the donkey was unclean and the lamb was clean. It redeemed the donkey. The lamb redeemed the donkey. So the lamb had to die for the burden bearer, the donkey, to live, the Bible says. So get that in your mind. And if they wouldn't do it, if that family that had that, the firstlings there, if they would not do that with the lamb, they would go to the donkey and they would break the neck of the donkey so that it died. Now, we read in the Bible where it also says in Leviticus, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse, that about the sin offering, they would take the doves and they would wring the dove's neck to sacrifice that dove as a sin offering. The Bible says in the 21st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, the first few verses there speak of if they found a man in a field that was dead, and they didn't know who had shed his blood, the nearest city there, the elders of that city would take a heifer, and they would lead the heifer to a rough valley. This heifer was a heifer that had never had a yoke upon its neck, had never done any work of any kind. They would take that heifer to a rough valley, the Bible says, which had neither ear nor sown, and the elders of that city would strike the neck of the heifer there, so it died. Now that heifer would have to die for the man's blood that was taken, that they didn't know about, and so the blood of that heifer, the burden of that heifer, was put on that heifer from that city, so that the blood would not be on anyone in that city's hands, and their innocence was there because of the sacrifice. Now we also read where the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy also, 28 and 48, it says there that he would put a yoke of iron upon the neck. Now, the Bible says in 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, that Eli's there, his sons are slain, the Ark of the Covenant is gone, he falls backward and breaks his neck. The Bible says in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, in the 41st verse, it states there that David said, "Even the necks of my enemies hast thou given me," he says to the Lord. Now, the Bible also says in 2 Kings 17 and 14, he said, "And they hardened their necks." Nehemiah 3 and 5 states that the nobles, those in charge, the nobles would not put their necks into the work of their Lord. The Bible says in Nehemiah 9 and 16, 17 and 29 that they had hardened their neck. The Bible says in the book of Job, the chapters there in 16 and 12, it says, "Thou hast taken me by the neck." The Bible says in Job 39 and 19, "Hast thou clothed his neck with thunderings?" The Bible says in Job, the 41st chapter and the 22nd verse, it states there about how he takes him by the neck. The Bible goes on to speak in the book of Psalms 18 and 40, how it says, "Thou hast given me the necks of my enemies," David repeats. And we understand that the Bible goes on and speaks in the book of Proverbs, the first chapter and the 7th and 8th and 9th verses. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, and it shall be unto thee an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Now, as we go on, we read in the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter and the 8th verse, regarding how the Bible says that to bind up the "let not truth and mercy forsake you, and bind them unto thy neck." It says there, and goes on in Isaiah in another place, to tie them about thy neck. Jeremiah speaks about many times how the yoke would be upon the necks, and then it would go on towards the latter part of the book of Jeremiah, how the neck would be, the yoke on the neck would be broken. The Bible says in Song of Lamentations, 1 and 14 and 5 and 5, the same words, it says, "Our necks are under persecution." Now, the Bible says in Daniel 5:7, 5:16, and 5:29, it says that whosoever would interpret the dream, their Belshazzar would receive ornaments and chains of gold about his neck. Now, when we look and we see in the New Testament about this neck, we find that Jesus' words are very clear. In the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 6th verse, it says, "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, the same, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and he be cast into the depth of the sea." The Bible says in Mark 8 and 17, I believe, 8 and 42, I believe it is, I apologize. It says there, "It were better for him that a millstone be hung about his neck, and he be cast and drowned into the depth of the sea." The Bible says in Luke 17 and 2 that it'd be better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck, and he be drowned and cast into the depth of the sea, if they believe not in the, if they offend one of these little ones. Now, we understand that Jesus went to the cross. Now, the Bible says in John 1 and 29, the Bible states there in John 1 and 29, he looks and he sees Jesus coming to the River Jordan, where John is busy baptizing them unto repentance with water. He sees Jesus Christ and he says something that is very special. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We understand and know that Jesus Christ is the Lamb. You read about how the Lamb of God, you read about Jesus being the Lamb. You read about the Good Shepherd. You read about the sheep. You read in Revelation about the Lamb of God. Oh, today I thought about how Jesus Christ, because he died on Calvary, he redeemed the burden bearer. But let me tell you today, he's not just the Lamb in the sense that he died for our sins, but he bears our sins. He went to the cross so that we today, our infirmities would be borne, so that we could cast our cares and our sins and all of our burdens and all of our troubles on His shoulders. What did He say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, when we find this neck, we find the importance thereof. We know that the husband, the father, is the head of the home. I've heard it said that the mother, the mama, is like the neck, giving that foundation, that strength of the home. I believe today that when we look at this and we look at the burdens, we see that where it said in Exodus there that they had to redeem it by the lamb. Death had to occur. Blood had to be shed because of the uncleanliness of that donkey, because of the burden of that donkey. When Jesus went to the cross of Christ, He wiped out. He redeemed us. He redeemed the fallen of all mankind. His creation was redeemed back to the Father. We understand that our sin debt was paid by His blood and by His blood alone. We know in the world that we live in today, simple supply and demand tells us that the more rare something is, the more expensive it is. I don't care if you're collecting cars or you're collecting baseball cards. The more rare that it is, the higher the price. There's no other blood that's ever been or ever will be except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it cost the Lord His life. There was a great expense paid. But the amazing thing is, Jesus' supply and demand curve is not like ours because there's plenty. There's all the blood. It's for everybody. Can save the whole world today. Though it's expensive, it does not cost us anything. We just give Him our burdens, lay our sins at His feet, and He will cleanse us and wash our sins away because of the redeeming power that is in the Lamb. He's also our sin. How can He be both? Bible says He is all and is in all. He is everything. He's our sin bearer. He now bears our infirmities. He took them upon Himself on the cross. He bore our sin on Himself. The Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I believe it says in Corinthians 5 and 21. Now, when you read that, what that means is that He did not. I've heard people say that He became a sinner. No, He bore our sins. He took the sins of all the past, present, future upon Himself, and they died on the tree when He gave His life. Let me share with you that the Bible teaches me that for if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled back to God in Romans 5 and 9, reconciled back to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We're no longer under the yoke of sin. We're no longer under the pressures of sin today and unrighteousness, but we've been given a crown of life. We've been given all these things, and the Father has come down. The Father has come down and fallen on our neck and kissed us today. Paul said to greet one another with a holy kiss. Oh, today, and it means forgiveness. It means love, and it means that relationship is restored. Jesus said, as they come with a song, I'll be through. Jesus, the Bible says, when He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but Thy will be done. And Jesus certainly, no doubt, we know that He was born to die. He was born to bear. And the sufferings that He knew was about to come, the pain and the agony and all of those things was about to come. But the thing, and He said that, I believe, to make sure, in one way, to make sure that everyone who reads that And everyone who hears that knows that that had to be done, that there was no other way. In other words, you say, if there's any other way that we can do this, let's do that. Nope, this is the only way that it can, and it has to be done this way. Now, and he no doubt dreaded the humiliation and all those things, but I believe today the thing that he knew that was going to be the most painful was going to be something that he had never experienced before. Now, I know, and you know, and we all know how that Jesus Christ has been and always will be. He was there. He is God Himself. He is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Triune Godhead. How we believe that He had never been separated from His Father. He had never, the relationship had never been separated. But when Jesus bore our sins, and all righteous, almighty, all holy and loving God looked down, He cannot look upon sin. That's why Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As God turned His head and there was separation for a time, the neck was broken for a time. But Jesus Christ, by the power of God, rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and never will the relationship be severed.